You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome back, super fans. We are glad to have you here. It was a very interesting and just matches loaded this past week. We're in the playoffs. The playoffs, Mike. Doesn't get better than this. I'm just going to dive right into it because, as you know, Mike, I've been chomping at the bit. I've been ready to get on these episodes with the quickness. This is Maddie Savage. I have Mike Apex here with me.
Yes, yes, indeed. And what's up, Superfans? This is Superfans MLS Playoff Saturday. This is going to be crazy today, Maddie. We got six, count them, one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six playoffs matches today. And we can't wait, Maddie.
Yes, sir. Well, let's do a recap on the playoffs matches so far.
Man, cut the cap.
So we have the very first match was Friday. It was Inter Miami versus our Nashville side. Ended up being 3-1 to Inter Miami, I'm gonna give you the floor first because I can get really impassioned and take over and really go in deep on these games, especially when Nashville's concerned. So I want to give you the floor first because I got some stuff I really want to get off my chest.
Yeah, shout out to both teams. They came out and it was started out. We spoke about this, Maddie. It started out really strong for our guys. Nashville, Cashville, they came out strong. I think actually the first, 20, 25 minutes of the match, Maddie, I mean, we were dominating as far as, being aggressive, shots on goal, possession. I mean, the guys came out really inspired. And, that old goat down there in MIA, he started cooking, Maddie. We didn't take advantage of our opportunities, as we spoke about. I mentioned before, that is the key to beating Miami. You got to kind of jump on top of these guys early, pause, and put them on their heels. So when Messi got that, that goal, I think that you guys lost a lot of confidence. You lost a lot of confidence, and it just steamrolled from there. Mukhtar, where are you? Where were you? He had a bonehead foul early, Maddie. And we were texting each other going back and forth, and I was like, dude, get your head out of your rear end. What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? He just didn't seem locked into me, Maddie. And our guys, Sturridge, he was on point. He came out and I thought he was legit. Overall, and I'm gonna let you get into the tactical because Maddie, this is your team. I'm gonna let you dive deep on this, but from a coaching standpoint, there were some issues here that we both agreed were egregious, and this cannot happen today at home, prime time tonight at Geodis Stadium. So, Maddie, I'm gonna let you go ahead, and then I'm gonna come back with another little bit afterwards on this.
I don't understand why that BJ Callahan went with a totally different lineup from our game that we played in Decision Day versus Miami. I understand with personnel decisions and things like that, you have a certain amount of people that you can play with injuries. I get that. That part is understandable. However, why in the world are you starting people in the playoffs? I'm not going to say that they haven't started, but they've only started a couple in the regular season. I'm talking about the Brian Acosta starting. Mm-hmm. That one was out of, I mean, left field, right field, center field, whatever field, right? That one was way out there. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of see the game plan as he was going to be a defensive player in the mid, and he was kind of like a central passing option that we were really trying to do, trying to catch Miami out on their heels with Schaffelberg and with Andy Nahar. They're really trying to work that left side, getting those two guys. You could see it. There was a lot of passes that way. But I talked with you, Mike, and I'm going to share this with the fans. You do not have a identity, a style of play that you've been harping on for the past 6, 8 months, 9 months, a year and a half since BJ Callahan has been here. We're going to play an aggressive attacking style of soccer. And it's gotten you success. It's gotten you the U.S. Open Cup. And you go up against Miami, you completely change your whole identity. You change how you play. You change everything. And players who have been playing, starting, not starting here in the playoffs, players that haven't played majority of the season, playing in the playoffs, it's a head-scratcher. And I understand you want to try and maybe catch them off guard, catch them, you know, do something different. But if you truly believe in what you're doing, then you do it in the playoffs. You do it in the big moments. You don't just do it in the regular season and change your identity or your DNA in the playoffs. This isn't what you do. And I told you, I said, if you play your style and they beat you, I can be okay with that. I can't. It's like, hey, we're pressing, we're on the attacking minded, and then they just pick us apart with these passes and stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, they're just a bad fit for us, and maybe they are. Mm-hmm. But be who you are. You have to do that. You can't change who you are at your core. And to say that you aren't going to, that you're not going to change, you're going to be who you are, and then you change, it falls flat to me. I don't like it.
Exactly, Maddie. I totally agree. Like I said this earlier, right? Dance with the girl you brought to the prom, right? Don't get the limo. Don't show up at the prom and you got your girl with you and now you want to switch up and you're at the party at the prom, you're looking for another chick. Stick with what got you there. And I get it, Maddie. Sometimes I think coaches, I know he thought he was coming up with a great strategy, but maybe he was too smart for his own britches, right? He was doing too much, right? And on top of that, it's gut check time for the Nashville SC players, right? It's gut check time. You have to level up this game. You're at home. You got to level up. Not match Miami's intensity. You got to be above their intensity, right? They got to play twice as hard they played the last match in order to beat Miami. Because Miami's coming in. They're going to want to get this thing done. You guys win, or excuse me, our guys. I'm a complimentary Nashville super fan right now. Beat them this game. Now the pressure's all on Miami. So you got to go above and beyond as far as coming out and, you know, keeping that level of intensity throughout the whole game. And that I think that's going to be very key for you guys, Maddie.
Yeah, tonight is going to be loaded. I love it. And like I said, I'm hoping that we can, you know, turn some things around and show that we can beat Miami. But let's move on to the second match up here in the Eastern Conference. And this, in my opinion, was the best match of the whole weekend, really, of these whole playoffs so far, was Philly and Chicago Fire. Because, yes. Woo, I sent some stuff to you, and I feel very strongly that Philadelphia is not by any means safe right now. They are... I'm not going to go so far as to say they're in trouble, but it is not smooth sailing for the Philadelphia Union.
It may be big trouble in Chicago for the Philadelphia Union tonight. Definitely, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, okay. Let's look at the entire of everything, right? So you got Philadelphia is the Supporters' Shield winner. They're the number one seed in the East, right? Chicago basically... just kind of won their way in through the play-in match, right? And they go into it, like you said, they're playing with house money. I mean, nobody expected them to be here. You didn't have them making the playoffs. I thought they could, you know, be where they're at. But how they played, the fact that they were able to go from being two down in the 80th minute to tying it up in Philadelphia and making it go to penalties, because that's the way the playoffs works, right? The first round, if it's a draw, it goes straight to penalties. And, I mean, that was the best-case scenario if you're a Chicago Fire fan, because, and this is going to add to that as well, they're one of their best players, not their best player, Philip Zinckernagel, gets injured, has a knock in warm-ups, and doesn't play in this match. They still are able to, like I said, come from two goals down late in the match, tie it up, and it goes to penalties. You barely lose, you know, to penalties because Waterman hit it off the bar. And the fact that Philadelphia Union had the audacity to celebrate like they did something, guys, if I was the coach, I'd be like, you guys need to humble yourselves and need to look at the whole entirety of everything, because this team almost snuck one. Of course, it's, you know, you don't want to say what ifs and why fours, but if Philip Zinckernagel plays in this game, we might be talking about a different scenario. We might be talking about Chicago going home and potentially putting out the first team or the first overall seed in the East. That would be a storyline.
Yes, indeed it would. And I'm gonna shout you out right now, Maddie, because you were on Chicago pretty much all year. Superfans Maddie was speaking, you know, highly of these guys. And I wasn't really feeling them. I knew they had talent. I knew they had potential. But, you know, in the gist of things, I had my Red Bulls in. I had Chicago out. Okay? But the opposite ended up happening. And, yeah, man, I actually, during this match, I thought it was over. Remember, Maddie, I thought it was over because I don't know if I passed out. I can't remember what had happened. And you were like, yo, what are you talking about? And then I went back or whatever, and I ended up catching the end of it because, you know, Philly, the score early is indicative of the way Philly played. They play like front runners, right? They, like you said, Maddie, they got in the situation. You barely won. You barely won, guys. And the top player from Chicago got hurt. Now, when they go home, he's going to be playing. He's going to be ready to go. He's going to want to get some get back, right? But the fact that Chicago showed that toughness, resiliency, they never gave up, because that last goal was literally at the end of the match. Like, what is it, like the 80? It was the, I can't remember, Matty, 88, 90th minute of the match, actually, right? When they tied it up to go into the PKs. So this game was just
it was in extra time.
It was after 90. They got, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I knew it was at the end. Okay. Shout out to these guys, man. Chicago Fire, man. But yeah, that match was like it had more drama than a soap opera. Guys were getting chippy. Like you said, Matty, Philly, you won one game, but you act like you won an MLS Cup or something out there. And, you know, I thought about it. I was like, okay, you know, they kind of poking their chest out right now because they're at home and they're in Philly. The fans are really, you know, they're hype up there. Shout out to the super fans in Philly. But you know you were doing too much, right? You know you were doing too much. And now you're going to the Shy. And we already predicted I think this is going to three, Maddie. You predicted that Chicago's going to get the upset.
Yes, sir. All right, moving along in the East, we have the the Hell is Real series with Cincinnati and Columbus. And I told you, this is not your normal 2-7 right here. I mean, from watching most of this match, you would have thought that this was a 4-5 because how competitive and how tightly contested this match was. Cincinnati got the goal late in the match to win it from Kevin Dinke, 78th minute. But, man, Columbus was playing on the front foot the entire match. I mean, it was, like I said, it was not a normal okay, the top seed, they got the ball, they're, you know, dominant with possession or just dominant on the field. You could just tell, like, you can see there's a difference here. You see it in sports sometimes. It's like, yeah, they're not close. But, yeah, this one was – it was very close. And we got them playing again. I mean, going back to Columbus, it's going to be chippy. I mean, this game itself was chippy and very, very tightly contested. I mean, every pass of the ball was important. I mean, that's how this match and this series is going to go.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and I went out on a limb, and I'm gonna keep hanging on that limb. I went with Columbus. Shout out to Coach Nancy. He had his guys prepared as expected. They competed as expected. That ended up being a great, score by Dinke late. He earned his check, right? They brought him in there. He paid dividends, right? That's what we bring these guys in for and pay them the big bucks for. As you mentioned, the rivalry between these guys, this is what it's all about, super fans. Rivalry, competition, guys putting it all on the line. This is what we want. This is what we love about the MLS. And this was a perfect example of that. I felt like I got to shout out Cincinnati's goalkeeper, Roman Celentano. He did a good job, Maddie. He did a good job. He gave up no goals, okay? Anytime you can shut out a team that a recent MLS Cup champion in Columbus and allow no points, you're automatically giving your team a great chance of winning. Because that people forget, Mike Apex Predator. I'm a defensive dude, guys. And these goalies, anytime I see these goalies doing a great job like that, I'm going to give them I'm sitting down. I'm going to give them a sitting ovation right now, Maddie, because he did his job and he did it well and gave his team an opportunity to win. And as you said, Dinke, that talent, Cincinnati's a more talented overall team. Columbus is very, they're cohesive. They're not going to make any mistakes like that, guys. And that's great. But, if they can't score, they're not going to be able to win, bottom line. You know what I'm saying? So I'm still sticking with Columbus. They're going home. They can get some home cooking. And I expect them to be eating out there, Maddie. They're going to be eating on the field, and they're going to get that win and come back to Cincinnati for game three, hopefully.
Okay, well, that's very good insight, Mike. I agree with what you had to say there. So, like I said, that's going to be interesting, to say the least. Let's go to our last match in the East. We got Charlotte FC versus NYCFC. This one was on a Tuesday, which was very odd, and we'll get into that, I'm sure. But Charlotte was... They didn't play their same style, their same game. I mean, Wilfred Zaha was suspended because of the decision day red card that he received, so he was not playing. And Pep Biel has been injured, so he's not been with the group. And so it felt like a different team, and rightly so, missing those key players. And their squad, or excuse me, their crowd wasn't quite in it. And I think that the time and the day that they played it had a big deal in that. Like I said, we'll get into that later on, but you still got to go and you got to win your game. I mean, this is home field advantage, like you said. You're the four playing the five, but NYC just seemed to be more aggressive. I mean, they had more shots on goal, were more aggressive. They got their goal. They were able to hold the lead. Charlotte's going to have to – they're going to uphill slide now. I mean, this is definitely an uphill battle and a struggle, because now you go from, having that home field advantage and maybe, securing it and going away and just – you're going to have to still play a tough game, but it's like, hey, we can still go back home. It's fine. To now we got to go away. We got to go to New York, and it's a must win for them now. And that right there is it's a situation you don't want to be in as the higher seed, if you will. Charlotte's in trouble. Charlotte's in hot water.
Yes, indeed, Maddie. And I'm going to make a similarity here, right? What do you call it? I'm going to make a similarity. Different sport, same name. RIP, one of my favorite basketball college coaches, any coach all time, Dean Smith from Carolina Tar Heels, right? Now we're going to talk about Dean Smith with the Charlotte FC. He's done a great job all year. I mean, these guys, they've been up and down, but they've been, you know, pretty much in the top upper half of the Eastern Conference all year. So coming into this match at home, we know the raucous crowd, super fans down there in Charlotte. They were, like you said, Maddie, a little bit disappointing from what I saw in that match. We know they had Zaha out. We know they had other injuries coming in. However, I think he did not have his guys locked and loaded and ready to you know, win this match. And that was a problem. And with all of the flux of coaches right now, Maddie, I mean, all of these coaches are on eggshells right now. I can speak for myself with my coach that went to the MLS Cup last year, championship, and got fired this year. So, Maddie, he did not have those guys ready to go. They were not mentally prepared. And then, as you mentioned, they were not playing. They didn't go all out. They didn't play like this was, you know, game seven right here. So, yeah, man, I was definitely disappointed in their performance. And on the NYCFC side, I mentioned this coming into this match. And as you mentioned before, they were kind of playing with house money. We knew that if they won this game, if they stole this first game, going home, they would have an advantage playing on that baseball field, on the Mets field. So this next match, game two, is going to be very, very, very interesting, to say the least, with Zaha returning.
Yeah, Zaha returning is going to be the storyline, but I think that the bigger storyline should be, are Charlotte playing to win? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they playing with enough passion and like you said, being locked in? Yeah, you could put that on the coach, but also, I mean, at a certain point in time, the players have to take responsibility. I mean, you can't have, you know, like Westwood, he goes in with every single game with that mentality. And that's why I like him. I like his gameplay and how he carries himself. And there's a couple other players that, and they're younger. Toklamati in the game one, he seemed to kind of get frustrated of both physically and emotionally. You know, he kind of go back to what ifs. Like you said, if you have Big Pat in there versus Toklamati, does the game go a little bit differently? Because Pat's got a little bit more experience, and not just in MLS, but just in general, right? Tokamati's only, like, what, 21? He's a younger kid, and Pat's 24 and been around a little while longer. Mm-hmm. So you can go into those things, but, I mean, there's one sub in particular, and I sent this to my brother, who's a very, very big Charlotte fan. Shout out to him. I told him, I said, Tiger Smalls must be an NYC FC plant or something, because he come into the game and his passes were terrible. I mean, I understand it is extremely hard to go from being on the bench and, you know, you're warming up, you're doing all this other stuff, to going in and making the passes. That, I feel like, between the passes and the shots, I feel like those are things that are hard to keep up with. But they're a professional, right? You have to. Mm-hmm. But his passes were really bad, and especially in the climate that we're in today, it almost made me. I even told him. I said the two things. I said he's either an NYCFC plant, or he's throwing the game for you know, gambling or something, because it was so bad. His passes were really bad. I mean, it was like me and you out there trying to make the long pass. It's like, we're not professionals. This guy's a professional. You get paid to do this, and like, almost all, I'm not going to say all of them, but a lot of his passes, long ball passes, were way off. I was like, man, what's this guy doing?
Wow, Maddie. As you were speaking on that, I was just thinking, and you have a very man. I don't want to cast any aspersions onto the MLS as far as that rig-ish goes. But now that you mention it, and I'm thinking about it, bro, that was kind of blatant. That was kind of blatant, Maddie. I mean, I don't want to even put that over here, but. You know, we're sports guys as realists, and I mentioned this for my guy last year. I'm not going to even say his name because it's blasphemy. We went to the MLS championship, match last year. Yeah, man, it looked like he definitely was not playing how he's supposed to. That looks suspect, bro.
Yeah, and the big elephant in the room, we talked about it before, you know, we're going to get back to this. MLS, why in the world would you have this game in this magnitude and everything else on a Tuesday when Saturday was completely free? Saturday, there was no matches. Why in the world were there no matches, Mike? Why? It made no sense.
Mr. Commissioner, Commish, I hope you're hearing this. Maddie and I have been saying this forever. You're not promoting the league, right? The only entity you guys want to promote, right, blatantly, is those pink flamingos down there in Miami. Other than that, you would have never done that to them. This is straight disrespect to the super fans in Charlotte, the players. This is what they work, you know, their butts off for, right? Maddie, to get the home field, and it should have been on Saturday. That would have showcased, right, the MLS. It's not right. It's disrespect. Come on, guys. Step your game up. This shouldn't happen like this.
Yeah, I mean, not having these games, not having any game at all on Saturday, was just unacceptable. But then, like I said, you had a good slate on Sunday, and then even the game on Monday with Cincinnati and Columbus, that wasn't terrible. I mean, you probably would have wanted that to happen on Saturday, and that's what they could have done. They could have had a similar slate to the way they got it set up tonight, right? With mm-hmm. five games, and you could have the first game could have been Charlotte and NYCFC, maybe like 2:30, something like that, and then mm-hmm. Cincinnati and Columbus at like maybe 5:00. And then Seattle and Minnesota at like 7:30, and then the late game with San Diego and Portland on like 9:30 or something. Like I said, there's ways around it, right? I'm just spitting out just, you know, as they went. I don't have, you know, exactly when they played it 100%. Like, that was just basically the weekend as a whole, right? But mm-hmm. not having any games on Saturday had to spill over into Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And Charlotte and Minnesota got the shaft by having the games on Tuesday. Because, like, Minnesota mm-hmm. took advantage of theirs. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But Charlotte got the shaft. And I have a problem with the way that the scheduling is, because if this happens to one team, it can happen to any team, really. I mean, they got an uphill slide, as I mentioned before, and in a few minutes they're going to be playing, and let's see what they can do. But, I mean, really, NYC being the lower seed is going to have an advantage either from before, like I said, how it played out. Yeah, you went to Charlotte, but you didn't really – yeah, you went to Charlotte, but Charlotte on a Tuesday is different than Charlotte on a Saturday. Let's get that straight.
Facts. Facts. There was no reason why they didn't have at least two games on Saturday. At least they didn't have any, and which struck me as quite odd, you know. But then you're going to have these matches on Monday night, which you're competing with Monday Night Football. I'm not sure if the World Series was going on, if it was a game on that. They also, I'm not quite sure. But just poor planning, MLS. And Maddie just broke it down for you guys, you know, pretty plain and simple. So hopefully somebody's listening, Maddie, and they're making adjustments.
Yeah, they need to. They need to, for sure. That's the last game we got for the Eastern Conference matches. Let's get into the West, the Wild Wild West, as you like to say. First match was it was on Sunday, right after the Philadelphia Union versus Chicago. You had Vancouver Whitecaps playing FC Dallas, and this one we don't have to spend a lot of time on because it was a stranglehold by Vancouver. I mean, from start to finish, Dallas is. Like we talked about, we said, I think we both agreed that it's not going to be a three-match game. It's going to be a sweep, and it looked like it. I mean, that place, BC Place, was rocking. Vancouver had that game from start to finish.
Yeah. Dallas, shout out to the Dallas superfans, Maddie. But Dallas got mollywopped. That's the word today, guys, mollywopped out there. Three zilch. I get it, Maddie. Dallas came in. They had a lot of players that didn't have a lot of, if any, playoff experience, right? I get that. But that's what regular season is for. So I don't give excuses for that. Your regular season, that's what it's a journey. You're supposed to be building and getting better and getting healthy so that when you make the playoffs, your team is prepared to compete. All right. We know Vancouver, let's just be real, it is technically a better team. They've been a better team, one of the most elite teams all year. However, they didn't even compete, Maddie. They didn't even show up. Like, that was so disgraceful. And like I said, I get it, inexperienced. But when you get mollywopped upside the head like that, you better come back this game too. Dallas. Super fans, your guys, you need to cheer, you know, your hearts out and get these guys to come out and compete. At least make it a watchable game, you know what I'm saying? Because that was just crazy. I didn't expect them to get shut out, Maddie.
I mean, I'm not going to say you go in expecting them to get shut out, but I didn't see it being, like, super competitive. I thought it might have been, like, a 3-1 or something like that. I didn't kind of expect them. I expected them to at least get on the board. But yeah, it wasn't a very competitive match. Like I said, it was a stranglehold by the Whitecaps. But let's move on. This one is the most, in my opinion, the most juicy match of the Western Conference matches so far. Hey, San Diego FC versus Portland. This is a 1-8, and that's what I'm loving that about these playoffs is. The 1-8 in any other sport is like, okay, it's pomp and circumstance, it's ceremony. The one team is going to cruise fairly easily, but here in these playoffs, there's no sure thing. Okay, we got Philly and Chicago on one side, and we got San Diego and Portland on the other. This game was very close. Portland had their chances, but San Diego showed that. They can score quickly. I mean, they scored two goals in like 5 minutes. I mean, it was just bang, bang. And that was the difference in the match, really. I mean, how fast they can strike how with precision. And for a period of time, Portland was just so out of sorts. I mean, they couldn't, you know, do – I'm not going to say do anything, but just with the speed of how San Diego went about it, things took Portland – by surprise, I would say. And that's shocking because they just got beat by these guys on decision day. You think they would have an idea of how to, you know, get a hold of things. But they really let things go. So after that first goal, they just were out of sorts. And then another one scores. And that was pretty much it right there. I mean, within 5-8 minutes, they get a 2-up. Portland did get one back in the 36 to kind of, you know, make things a little interesting. But that crowd was behind their guys in Snapdragon Stadium, and that ends up being the scoreline, 2-1.
Yes, indeed, Maddie. Shout out to the Portland Timbers. At least they showed up, Maddie. As you mentioned, these guys competed, you know. San Diego popped them in the mouth early, guys. And they, you know, they didn't get knocked out. They actually got back up and they competed. I'm just looking here. I don't want to get into too many stats, guys, but San Diego held possession for about 66% of the match. I'm looking at their passes because we were just mentioning earlier where somebody possibly could have rigged the game, but they completed 849 passes. They were very efficient moving the ball around. And Portland only had 328, Maddie. That's the big disparity right there. And as far as controlling the play and everything, San Diego, I mean, they controlled the game throughout. I saw the quick replay of this, guys, didn't watch the whole match. But we know that when Portland gets it going, especially they're about to go home, Maddie, I can see these guys possibly, if it goes to PKs, they can give themselves a chance to win this next game too. But as far as game one, with all the turmoil, and we're going to, when I send it back to Maddie, he's going to get savage about the situation with Chucky. happy Halloween to you guys. Happy belated Halloween. But Chucky, speaking on him. But yeah, that was one of the things coming in, Maddie, we spoke about. With all of the turmoil going on, maybe Portland could take advantage and slip in and get a win with everything. But the guys did stay focused with San Diego, and they were able to hold home court, home field. Excuse me.
Yeah, so you're throwing it my way. I got to give my shout out and my roses to the coach of San Diego FC, Mickey Varis. He's been doing it all year long, but what really has come to light recently, especially we talked about Chucky Lozano being out, coach's decision being out on decision day. But this guy here, I sent you something, and I'm going to share this. I'm keeping PG-13, right? I sent you a character from South Park, and he's a kind of, if anybody watches South Park and you kind of, you'll be able to visualize this without me having to give it too much. But Mickey Varis is he's wheelbarrowing his manhood around like a character from South Park. I mean, that's what he's got. I mean, great day. You're talking about your best player. Well, most high profile. He hasn't been the best player. Yes. Dreher's been the best player. But your most high profile player throwing a little fit, right? And you suspend him for decision day, which, I mean, that right there, that was tough. But here it is, your very first playoff match of the entire franchise at home. Mm. And he decides to not include him in the match. Mm. He's not even on the bench or anything. He's in the stands watching. And they still went out with their game one. Like I said, he's wheelbarrowing his manhood around, and rightly so. Shout out to Ferris.
Totally agree. You got to hold your wheelbarrow, guys, if you know what we're talking about right here. And that's what the coach did. He stood on business. Now, it's going to be interesting this game too, Maddie. Not to say too much. I'm predicting he's going to be a good soldier. Chucky's going to come out and be a good soldier and be a good teammate. If not, he may be eating popcorn and peanuts in the stands once again.
that would be something. I see that he's gonna be involved in the match. I don't see him missing another one. But look, the coach is already he's setting for precedent, right? He's setting a precedent not only as him as a coach, but as a culture for the team, right? That one player does not supersede what we are trying to do as a team, as an organization. And I gotta give him as much credit as I can, because that's tough. I told you, and I'm going to repeat this. This is their very first playoff match of their existence. Yep. And there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of, expectations. They're the number one overall seed, all this stuff, right? And this could have really blown up in his face. Can you imagine the backlash that he would receive if the 8 seed Portland comes in and steals one, and you got your most high profile player not even suited up and is watching the match. I mean, this could, like you said, coaches are getting fired over less. I mean, he would have been in the hot seat in boiling water immediately if this had blown up in his face. So the fact that he was able to hold his own and say, this is what we're doing, and I trust my team, I trust my guys, and it really, it'll bode well for the culture of the entire organization. And they're going to have a conversation with Lozano in the offseason about, is he going to be on board or is he going to pull some nonsense? And if he starts, which I fully expect him to, pay attention to him. Is he going to go out? Is he going to, you know, give that effort? Or is he going to kind of, you know, be la, 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 la? And if he is, look, Mickey Ferris has shown he's not playing around. He's not playing.
No, true that, Maddie. As a coach, we're both coaches, championship coaches. As a coach, your job is to what? Win games and compete for championships. That's it. That's it, guys. This ain't rocket science. Win games and compete for championships. That's the goal. That's what you're hired for, and that's what you're supposed to do. Anytime you let one individual player, right, compromise the team and the goal, then you're going to get fired, okay? As Maddie said, we've seen coaches get fired for less. You know what I'm saying? Like, seriously. So do your job. You know what I'm saying? If he does his job and whatever happens, hey, you can stand on that. And he's, and you know, there's plenty of jobs out here. You know, he's doing, look, first year, historic moment. Let's go, San Diego.
Yes, sir. Now let's move on to the other match in the Western Conference. There was on Monday between Minnesota and Seattle. And that one went down to the wire. This was another game that went to PKs. And I got to give all the credit in the world to Minnesota, because I thought that Seattle would have had the experience, and, you know, they've done it. They've been big over the last little bit. And yeah, I'll admit it. I had recency bias with Seattle. But I got on Nashville for changing up their game plan. So I'm going to give credit and respect to what Ramsey, the head coach, I'm going to give him his credit for sticking to his guns. And they played the same way the entire year. They are very, very defensive. They really don't care about the ball. They're a press or a play defense and counter. That's their game. And it's worked out for them. It was 0-0, and then they took it into penalties, and they went in penalties. Uh-huh. Maybe that's not what you want to do as the higher seed at home, but again, that defensive style is what got them where they are. That defensive style won them this match, and they held to their style, their guns, if you will.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, they've been successful with their style of play all year, guys, and so far it's held up, right? One game down, they got a victory. Kudos to those guys. Of course, you mentioned the coach, Maddie. But I'm very disappointed. You know, of course, I picked Seattle in this, right, to win the, you know, the series. And I'm still going to stick to my guns. We got two more matches to play. And then going back to Seattle next. But totally disappointed in Seattle, Maddie. Here it is. They have all the experience in the world, as you mentioned, right? And both are great defensive teams, right? We know this. But the fact that with all the experience they have, and then they end up going to PKs, one would expect that Seattle had the advantage, right? That's how I looked at it. I was like, this, you know, they got this. But they were looking a little shaky, baby, out there. And when they got to PKs, and that's the thing. That's the beauty of competition and the playoffs. Because you gotta play to win the game. It don't matter what your record is. It doesn't matter. Like Maddie mentioned, the one versus the eight. That's the beauty of MLS. The other sports, people will say, you know, they're a shoo-in. Not so fast, guys. This situation with Seattle, they got a gut check. And a NUT check in that last loss, you know, against Minnesota. They did the thing at home. Those fans, Maddie, those super fans up there, they were off the chain. I was loving it. That was a crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, I was loving it. But Seattle, your coach, who's that coach up there, Maddie? He I can't remember his name off the dome, but he's on the clock right now. He's on the clock right now because he has he got some work to do.
So the Seattle's manager, Brian Smetzer, yeah, he's definitely, you know, he's been around a long time. He's one of the if I'm not mistaken, I think he's the most tenured coach in MLS right now. He's been with Seattle, I mean, basically since their inception into MLS. So, I mean, they've only had him as their coach. So,
yeah.
Hold on,
man, not to cut you. Let me say this. He's from Lake City. That's North Seattle, like Seattle super fans. You know what it is. Lake City, the 522, the 141, you know what I'm saying? The Metro. I used to stay in Lake City. He's from Lake City. You know what I'm saying? He's from up there. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, Bryce Metzger's got to come with it. He's got the experience. He's definitely got to come with it, and they'll be all right. Going back home, they will be all right. It's gonna be a challenge for sure, because you know this defensive team in Minnesota, they're hard to break down. And you know, hey, this one now, I had it as like, oh yeah, Seattle's got the edge. You know, probably like a, you know, even though they're a lower seeded team, they'll probably get it done. But now this could be one I could see going three. It's probably gonna go back to Allianz in Minnesota for the game three, and it's gonna go down to there. And wouldn't it be just perfect if they had a similar match like we just had, and it's like, instead of a 0-0 though, maybe like make it like a 1-1. It goes to PKs or something like that, and just for that added little bit of drama, that would be something else. But yeah, this matchup is it's very tightly contested. It's going to go down to who doesn't make, or who makes more mistakes than the other. That's really what that series is going to go down to. All right, now our last playoff matchup is between the LAFC and Austin FC. And Mike, you were taken aback by my take that Austin is actually got a chance in this playoff series. Yeah, were kind of taken back that I think that Austin could have a chance, and just from watching the game, they had their opportunities, but they had a big costly own goal that really bit them in the tail, because they have the own goal happens early, 20th minute. So LAFC, you know, is gifted a goal, and you end up losing 2-1. And if you don't have that costly mistake, the own goal, you go 1-1. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you're the road team. You go 1-1 at home to LA, and could possibly sneak one in PKs. That would have been one of the best case scenarios for Austin. So again, these mistakes that, you know, barely lose you a game in the regular season, and you're like, oh, you drop points or this or that, whatever. It's magnified in the playoffs. You have a mistake like this, and it costs you a game, and it messes with the entire series, because you subtract the own goal. It's 1-1, like I said. In PKs, it's anybody's game. It really is. It's anybody's match. Throw the higher seed and lower seed out the window. And if Austin could have just kept it together on that, then maybe we're talking about something different, where they're taking the a series lead in going back to Q2 Stadium in Austin.
Yes, indeed, Maddie. Yeah, we talked about this match, and coming in, you did give those guys a lot of props, and I gave them a fighter's, remember I said I give them a fighter's chance, right? They may get a lucky left hook or uppercut and, you know, get a win in LAFC's, you know, home stadium. And this was, you broke it down. It's a game of inches. It's a game of mistakes. And that gift that they gave LAFC is the only reason why, if you be honest, man, that's the only reason why they lost this match, right? Because they would have went to PKs. Their defense was immaculate. Shout out to, you know, we know my guy, the seventh son, and of course Boyega. Boyega had the beautiful pass that led to the you know, game winning goal per se, right? But overall, I was very impressed with Austin. And think about it. They beat them twice. And I know we mentioned that our guys didn't play in that last match against them, right? Son and Boinga, but they beat them twice. So they're not afraid of them. They know they can beat them, and they're headed home right now. I could really see Austin FC possibly winning this match. Now, I'm going to stick to my guns because I said it was going to be a sweep. But I could definitely see them, you know, pulling this out. And if they do, I wouldn't be surprised. So, yeah, definitely show up and support Austin super fans when, you know, get your BLAFC chance ready when they come down there to Austin.
For sure, Mike, for sure. All right, so I'm glad that we wrapped up the playoff recap, because we have a gripe that we want to get into about the lamestream media, lamestream sports media, and that's what did you call them, Mike? What did you call the said media?
ESPN.
Yeah. There was a chance for them to talk about the very first playoff matchup, which was Miami and Nashville. We played on Friday night, kicked off the playoffs, right? And one of this is on PTI. We're going to share a clip with you guys. Given an option to what are they going to tune in to it and listen in and tell me what you guys think about what was said?
Last one. The MLS playoffs are tonight. Inter Miami hosts Nashville SC. We got. I got three TV screens, as you know. Like, none of them will have that. Okay. I'll have the World Series large. I'll have two NBA games flanking. I may click over to watch a boy wear pink. I may do that.
And isn't it funny enough? After that clip, right? After that clip, they were asked a couple of days later, after the match was over. I don't think it was the next day. I think it was 2 days later. They did speak on the match and listen to this, guys. Listen to how quickly they changed their tune.
Lionel Messi scored two goals in Inter Miami's 3-1 win over Nashville. You're impressed, right?
So forget if I'm impressed or not. I got text today from Taylor Twelve.
Oh, wow.
He's angry at you because you said you didn't care about watching this. He wants you to go to game two.
I'd love to
He'll
go.
Take you to game two. He wants me to
go.
What if there isn't a game?
Go to game two.
Last one. Commanders in chief.
But, yeah, okay. Guys, so here we are. All he wanted to talk about was Messi, and that's shameful for Mike Wilbon, because he's a Chicago guy, as you said, Mike, and his team is in the playoffs and didn't give them any kind of I'll be watching, I'll be tuning in, nothing. I mean, it was disgraceful.
As I said, ESPN, Maddie, and I meant that. Totally disgusted, totally disappointed. And as you said, Maddie, these guys have been on ESPN forever, right? They're supposed to be the sports aficionados. I mean, these guys are supposed to be the experts. They're supposed to be the, you know, the oracle over there at ESPN, right? PTI, parting the interruption. Well, we're going to interrupt this for a public service announcement. Guys, quit the BS, all right? Quit the BS. This is a Maddie Savage red card moment, and we about to flame broil both of you, all right? Both of you. Tony Kornheiser, you're from New York. NYCFC's in there. They're in the MLS. You ain't even, it wasn't even an afterthought for you. And then you look at Michael Wilbon. I said another name, Maddie. Remember when I hit you with the that voice message? I had some other nicknames for these guys, but I'm going to keep it PG-13, right? Dude, Chicago Fire, these guys are one of the most exciting, and as Maddie said, they're AC. They fought their way into the playoffs. They're going against Philly. They actually have a chance to win, And I guarantee you this, Maddie, now watch this. If Chicago pulls off the upset, if they beat Philadelphia Union, right, as an AC, he'll be the first one jumping on the bandwagon, jumping on the jock, like he's at the Kentucky Derby trying to ride out. You know what I mean? This guy's just, I couldn't believe it, Maddie. In the level of disrespect, the level of disrespect. Can't believe it, Maddie.
I can, because this is par for the course for that network, because I'm not trying to, you know, make it about them or making it personal, but I mean, this is what they do. They just ride the coattails on the biggest stars, and that's what they try to do here. I mean, listen to his response. Oh, Messi, he talked about Messi. Oh, Messi had two goals and this and that. And even before that, what was his take? Oh, I might watch that guy in pink. That was it. That was all he had, because that's all they know. They don't know soccer. Mm-hmm. So they don't care to know it. It's not them. And after the dust has settled, now they want to, you know, oh, yeah, that person, the most, you know, known one who everybody knows. I mean, they do the same thing in every sport. Who's the teams and players that they talk about? The absolute superstars, the absolute super team, the most recognizable faces and names. And then then they try to push narratives that are, I'm not going to say rage bait, but that are very controversial so that people can and talk about it. We talked about engagement bait. That's what I will say. It's engagement bait. They just want to have to do discuss.
Excellent term.
And that's all this was. Talk about him after the fact and attach the act like you know what's going on because he's a big name and people like him or they don't.
Yeah, man. That's an excellent term that you used right there. I'm just lost for words right now, Maddie, because the World Cup's coming up next year, guys, FIFA World Cup. And I guarantee these same two guys are going to be gushing over all of the international stars and, you know what I mean, pretty much, you know, meat riding these dudes, you know what I'm saying? Pause. But that's what they're going to do, Maddie. And the fact that he's jumping on Messi, like, oh, man, yeah, I may go down there. And, I mean, guys, just set up, guys. Set up. You know, because you're just disrespectful, not only to the MLS, but U.S. soccer, period. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are just... And, Maddie, I brought up another term... another issue that I saw. ESPN, if I'm not mistaken, they have a deal with USL, right? The USL, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not in their interest to promote the MLS. It's not in their interest to speak on the MLS. And I like what you talked about earlier this week, Maddie. Copy-paste, lazy... sports journalism by ESPN.
Yep, for sure. And you hit the nail on the head. They definitely are. They're invested into USL, and they've been on their their games are on, I think it's on the ESPN Plus app or whatever it is. Yeah, so they've got their financial interest in USL and downplaying MLS. So yeah, of course they don't want to give them their shine or talk about it, but. For them, why even, my question that I had to you and I'll have to the fans is, why even put that on there last minute if you're just going to demean it and act like, I'm not going to watch that game. It's not even going to be there. It's like, just don't even talk about it. You know, if that's not what you're about, then don't put it in there to disrespect it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's not what I'm about. That's for sure.
Yeah, we got some four-letter words we'd like to say, super fans. But we'll let you fill in the blanks on that, all right? We're going to keep it, you know, PG right now. But, yeah, man.
All right, Mike. Well, I think that's going to wrap up this episode. We got, like I said, we got all kinds of matches upcoming. I think we pretty much talked about how we think they're going to go. But, I mean, remains to be seen. This is going to be a consequential Saturday in MLS. So... we'll see how it's going to go. Hopefully some teams can keep it alive, but I feel like there's going to be some definitive results for tonight.
All right, guys. Until next time, have fun, be safe, and have a super fantastic week.
We'll catch you later next time.
for joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.